Good morning. All right, y'all probably saw this and thought Kenneth was speaking, but it's still Kenneth's fault. So we've been doing spiritual gifts. Not sure why we started spiritual gifts at the time that we did, but it seemed appropriate. And then nobody was here, only a couple of you. So if we're in the middle of it, you're not sure where we're at, it's on the messages on the website, and I don't have a PDF for Kenneth up yet, but we'll get it there. And just so you know, haven't done the PowerPoint before. I said PDF, but PowerPoint. Haven't done the PowerPoint, so I have no idea how much time I have. We're just going to roll through it. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, I kind of based it off what Kenneth's PowerPoint was and how many frames he had, and I was on ahead of that because I thought we might get through more. And I was like, no, there's no way. So, like I said, I don't really know where we just have to see how it all goes. So we will try that out. So we've been doing spiritual gifts. We started on that, and we were basing it. We were going over the one that we did the video series on with Chip Ingram, Your Divine Design. So as far as for a review, remember how to use the pointer here. What spiritual gifts has God given you? When we did the survey back at the beginning, beginning of the year, quite a few wanted us to go back through spiritual gifts again. So, again, that was one of those we mentioned. So, well, we've done it on Wednesday night. We'll try Sunday. So, obviously, we picked the wrong time for that. But anyway, how are you using your spiritual gift, gift or gifts, to build up the body of Christ? And then there's four basic passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. And then, of course, the critical question, how do you organize gifts, talked about in these four passages. So as you look at a lot of different things and you read them, sometimes they can get a little bit confusing. You're not sure what's what. And if you start looking at a lot of them will kind of tie together. They'll leave some out. And they say, well, those we don't really see those today. Or you'll have different things, but they categorize them a little bit different. So like I said, we went through Your Divine Design with Chip Ingram, so we kind of stuck with that one. But as you look at a lot of his, some that were like, I've seen things from like in the 60s, and they're all somewhat categorized fairly similar. So three kinds of spiritual gifts, and this is kind of the way he's categorized them. Every believer has one primary motivational gift. That motivational gift can express itself through a variety of ministry gifts. And then when we exercise our motivational gift through our ministry gift, the Holy Spirit determines what manifestation or impact the believer will receive. And then this is a list of those, the motivational gifts there. On your left, on my left, service ministry in the middle, and workings and manifestation on the right. And Kenneth went over the ones on the left last week. So every local church meeting needs all seven motivational gifts. That's going to be the ones listed there. Oh, I got a pointer here somewhere. That right there. Try that out. Anyway. And one of the interesting things is there is one person who has all seven completely, fully, and only one, and that's going to be Christ. So we're all to be exercising all of those seven, but you're going to have one that comes easy, that's naturally given to you, or it was given to you, and it just comes naturally, and we need to focus our efforts on that. One of the ways of knowing that is you feel fulfillment when you exercise that gift, and you also see fruitfulness from that. So today we're going to look at that second list, and it's going to be developing your spiritual gift. And so your gift gives you direction and purpose for your life. You know, you come in to the meeting and you're look at different things that you might will be where you may be able to help out. And a lot of times people may ask you to help in an area that's really not necessarily your gift. And it doesn't mean you can't help, but you need to learn to focus more in the direction of your gift. If they ask you to help with serving, obviously, you know, if you've got the time, you help with the serving, but that may not be your gift. I remember David Jeremiah was talking about with his, he said, once he figured out that teaching was his gift, he said, that's what he focused on. He said, I didn't worry about fixing things in my house. He said, it wasn't my gift to be able to do that. Didn't really have that knowledge. He said, I call somebody. He said, I'll get another brother or to help with things around the house if he needed something. He said, I focus strictly on what my gift of teaching is. And through the years, you can see where his ministry is at and how the Lord's used him. So, you know, a lot of times we can get caught up in a lot of different things. But if you focus on that main gift that the Lord has, your motivational gift, then it gives you some direction and purpose in your Christian life. And then it's freedom to embrace and enjoy who you are. Once you kind of have that, you know, that's what the Lord gave you, and that's his purpose for you. And so it gives you freedom and joy in that, the joy that results from impacting others' lives. You know, a lot of times you may help in one area, but if it's not your gift, I will do the serving again. And the reason I do serving is because those who serve, it's not a big deal to them. If you say, hey, well, we need to clean this floor or whatever, can you go do that? There's no pay. There's no recognition. After a while, that starts to grate on your nerves. Somebody who's serving, they don't care. Okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it. And it doesn't mean that you can't do that without that gift. So, like one example, I was talking, it was a guy that was a gym floor. We were cleaning the gym floor. Nobody's around. Nobody knows anything about it. It just needs to be done. The whole time, the guy that was helping, man, we ought to get some other people in here doing this. We should do this, or we should do that. And it was like, that was not his gift at all in any stretch of the imagination. And it was like, you know, he's more or less, he ends up complaining about everything else while he is doing that. It doesn't mean that that's necessarily, you know, well, some other things going on too, but the point is you can do some things that may not be your gift, but after a while, that's not going to come natural. It's not going to come easy. And it's not going to, you know, we won't have that joy even though it was helping someone else out. Whereas if it's your gift, it comes naturally, it's easy, then you get joy as you impact somebody else's life. And then affirmation of your victory with Christ. As we think of what Christ has done for us, that he has delivered us from sin, he paid the penalty for our sin, but he's made us a new creation, and he has a purpose, and he's using us for that purpose. And then we have accountability. As you will be held responsible for the stewardship of your gifts. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's not just your gift only, but that's what we're going to, it applies to your gift. In chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, and yet so as by fire. So the things that we do when you're trying to, you've been coerced into helping and doing different things, it may be for the Lord, for the church, or whatever, but when it's your gift, you're more motivated, comes naturally, and so forth. Whereas if you've been kind of coerced into helping teach Sunday school and you really didn't want to be part of that at all, you know, that's more of your wood, your hay, and your stubble, because you're not even necessarily doing it for the Lord. You're just doing it because somebody persuaded you to do it. We have to be careful of that. There we go. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So we have a stewardship responsibility that the Lord has given us. He didn't save us just to do whatever we wanted. He's got a plan and a purpose for us, and so we need to be busy finding out what that is and busy doing it. So developing your spiritual gifts begins with clarity. You need to understand kind of what that is. If you're kind of like in a fog and don't have a clue what's going on, and I'm just here or I'm just helping because somebody said help, you know, you need some clarity with that. So there's three types of spiritual gifts. One, every believer has one primary motivational gift, which we talked about earlier. That motivational gift, your drive or your ability, can express itself through a variety of ministry gifts. And then three, when we exercise our motivational gift through our ministry gifts, the Holy Spirit determines what manifestations or effects will most benefit people. So he's kind of listed those out where we had those three lists. And we're going to look at that second one today. So there are different kinds of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So here's that list, that middle list that we looked at earlier. Apostles, prophets, evangelist, pastor, teachers, working of miracles, gifts of healing, helping, tongues, and administration. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So your gifts have been given to serve other people. We've talked about that before, that's the whole purpose of the gifts. The Lord gave them for the church, for the edifying, for the building up of the body. They are to serve each other. They're not for yourself to bring glorification to yourself. They are for the body to help build up and edify the church. So developing your gifts demands a basic understanding of the New Testament gifts. So the first one on that list is apostleship. And most people, when they think of apostles, we think of the 12, or I should say 11 apostles. And that is no longer applicable for the church. The Lord placed those disciples, those apostles were at the beginning of the church, getting the foundation of the church was obviously Christ, but as he started the church, those were those who built up off of Christ's teachings when he taught them, and they began to build the church as the Lord added to the church daily, and they were teaching them from the Word and studying the Word and the things that the Spirit was showing them. Whereas this It's the divine enablement to start churches or other ministries and oversee their development. The ability to minister cross-culturally with the goal of planting churches. And sometimes you hear of different ones where they talk about they're wanting to, you know, start meetings and they move along. You know, when the meetings, the assemblies started in this area, I believe it was the ones from some of them up from Canada and up in towards Michigan, some that had moved, came down this way, and they had tent meetings and different things, and they started the assemblies here. And you had some of them, that was what they did. They started the meetings, and they went somewhere else. And then you had some of them that actually stayed in the various meetings here in the Piedmont and continued to teach and to help and to build up the church. But you had some of those, that was their goal, was to go and to start new meetings. And prophecy, again, sometimes we kind of think of that, especially when you hear some of those start claiming they're a prophet or something, you'll get a little concerned about those for good reason. But it's the divine enablement to proclaim God's truth with power and clarity in a timely and culturally sensitive fashion. The focus is for correction, repentance, or edification. It's the ability to reveal God's word accurately. So pretty much, it's being able to declare, proclaim God's truth as you study the word, and that you're to do that, you're able to do that with power and clarity. So sometimes you can think of different ones, and they are very applicable to what is going on in our culture at the time. You'll see different ones that start coming in. It's like, you know, we kind of see some of the stuff going on. They will start tying that stuff in biblically, pulling out different passages and discussing it. Sometimes you're going, well, I thought about it like that before. And that's more what it is. All right, evangelism. The ability to be an unusually effective instrument in leading unbelievers to a saving knowledge of Christ. Some with this gift are most effective in personal evangelism, while others may be used by God in group evangelism or cross-culture evangelism. So, obviously, one of the ones that we think of when we talk about evangelism for groups would be Billy Graham and the impact that he had on the world and how the Lord used him. And if I remember correctly, it was some men that were meeting, and one of them was his dad, and they were praying about impacting the world. And it ended up being, I can't remember Billy's dad's name, but anyway, he was the one, his son would pretty much, he got saved, and he followed the Lord in obedience, and he began to evangelize. And we see the impact he had. But most people that we probably know, it's more on an individual basis. We're all to share the gospel. We're all to evangelize. But some people have that ability, and it just like comes naturally. You know, the Lord's gifted them in that. I can think of Bob Brown. He carries, some of y'all remember him from Reedsville, but he always had a tract with him. And, I mean, wherever he went, it was just naturally he started up conversation. He thought and planned that way. He's like, you know, you go to the gas station, I go to the same one every time, so you get to know the people there. So then you're able to understand and share with them as you get to know them. Whereas for me, that doesn't cross my mind. I go in the store and I'm in and out of there, I say, hey, there is no buy. It's just, you know, I got what I needed and that was it. That was my plan. I'm going in and get what I want. I'm gone. But that's not their thought process. When they go in somewhere, they're already thinking. And sometimes we think, well, we don't really have that much of an opportunity. I think it was Jabe Nicholson's wife. She was praying about being able to reach others, but she's homeschooling. She's got quite a few kids at the house, so she just asked the Lord. So when the garbage man started coming, she started, she would, you know, meet him out there, get the trash can or whatever, And she started, I think she gave him some things, you know, a bottle of water, this or that. But she kind of built a relationship up, was able to share the gospel with him. Later on, he was actually having some problems in his life. She was able to share the gospel with him, and he got saved. The Lord can bring, he brings those people to us. A lot of times, we just miss those opportunities. And sometimes, if you're like me, you realize the opportunity after it's gone. Like, you know, maybe it's 5 minutes after. Sometimes it might be, you know, about a half a day later, it happens to come into your mind. You're like, oh, man, I should have said something. It just didn't cross your mind because we're busy. We get occupied with the busyness of life and what we got going on, and we're not paying attention to those things. It's like one of them, you know, if when you have a flat tire, all we're thinking about is the inconvenience. Whereas if somebody stopped to help and you have a chance to share the gospel, well, we don't think about that. We're thinking about what has inconvenienced me in my time. Pastor teacher. A person with this spiritual gift has the ability to lead, nourish, protect, and personally care for the needs of a flock of believers. Not all people with the office of pastor, elder, overseer have or need the gift of pastoring or shepherding. And many with this gift do not have or need the office. This gift also includes teaching ability and is the only dual gift in the list. So someone who shepherds or cares for the believers. And they're also teaching. It doesn't necessarily have to be that they're teaching up here, but they are still taking their time and they're teaching. It doesn't mean that they, again, that they have to have a public teaching. It can be a one-on-one. But their care is for the believers. It's a shepherding, and you think of Christ telling Peter to tend to the flock, to feed my lambs. As he tells him that in John, that's kind of what this is talking about. It's someone who is taking care of the flock. They're looking after the needs of the believers, and that's their concern and their burden of looking after those in the congregation. And again, it doesn't mean that they have to be an elder. They just naturally do this. They don't need the office of an elder to do it. You can, they're still caring for the flock and looking after and helping where they can. And teaching, the divine enablement to understand and give detailed explanation of biblical truth, the ability to search out and validate truth which has been presented. And often, you know, we use that a lot for examples for teaching when we talk about the gifts, because I think that's kind of what comes to mind a lot of times. But because somebody's up front and they're teaching from God's word. You can be up here teaching, and your gift may not be teaching. You can do a good job of being up here teaching, but your gift still might not be teaching. It doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be here, but you'll see those with the gift of teaching. The ones that I think of, they a lot of times, it's like, you know, you give them something, and they research every detail out about it. It's like... they're constantly, they're digging in to learn more about it. And you see that in other areas of life. I can think of two or three that just come to mind. And they teach from the word, but you know, it doesn't matter what it is. If they're buying a coffee maker, they research every one of them and can tell you everything about them. And whereas if I'm buying, I'm not buying a coffee maker, but if I was buying, I'm just going to go, you know, give. Okay, I'll do a quick review to see if this thing's junk or if, you know, if they fail after a month or what. That's about all the research I'm going to do. Sometimes that comes back and gets us. But they research it. They know, well, these are the best models, and this here's the best options on them, and this is what you should get, shouldn't get. So you see that all through their life. It's not just in the scripture, but obviously that's what we're talking about. But you'll see that in other areas where they do that same thing. All right, so now we get into those that are, some would say, are no longer applicable to the church, that, and that's going to be miracles. Look at the other one real quick. working of miracles, gifts of healing, tongues are some of those. So I think in our Western, well, before I get in our Western culture, I think one of the things that, you know, as far as conservative evangelical Christians, we get a little concerned when we see some of these people getting, you know, where they're getting off a little bit, you know, where they're just, one is we see some things that are off scripturally, doctrinally, that they're off, and then they just kind of seem, you know, they just kind of go with whatever whims. There just seems to be a lot more emotion tied in with things. But we know that the Lord uses miracles, that he does healing. We'll see that. So I think one of our things is, as soon as we hear something, we're like, oh, no, and we just brush that off. And I think we have to be careful with that, because if we go back and we start looking at some of the things in Scripture, the Lord doesn't fit in our little box. He does things the way he wants to do them, and he shows would show a lot more emotion than what we do, and probably encourages us to show a lot more emotion. We probably restrain it a lot of times. So the ability to serve as an instrument through whom God accomplishes acts that manifest supernatural power. Miracles bear witness to the presence of God and the truth of his proclaimed word, and appear to occur most frequently in association with missionary activity. The gospel message carries its own authority, but God sometimes graciously uses miracles to authenticate and open doors for the proclamation of forgiveness and life in Christ. So I think that one of the things with some of these is we do see them a lot more active in missionary work. Trying to find that list again. But the Lord is not shorthanded. He can do miracles. He did miracles. Christ did miracles when he was here. He had the apostles doing miracles. And one of the things that really makes us very leery is because of the TV evangelist and all of the things that they do. And we look at them and laugh because it's so foolish. A lot of times they're set up. And so all of those things, and we have to be careful because we lump everything into that. So the Lord obviously has the ability, the power to do miracles, still does miracles today. We hear about miracles, but you don't see somebody coming up and necessarily performing a miracle. However, that doesn't mean that he's limited by that. He can do that through someone if he so desires. And again, I don't think we're going to see too much of this in our culture that's from God. If you recall, our belief in the Lord and his power, we believe, but when things start happening, I mean, you think the Lord went into, was it Capernaum? He went, and he couldn't do many miracles because, I can't remember if it was Capernaum. It says he couldn't do many miracles, or he did a few miracles because of their unbelief. One is we have the gospel pretty much, at least we go back a few years, everywhere. We've got more Bibles. You probably got more Bibles in your house than the average person anywhere else in the world can even think about. But we've got it on our phones. We've got it on radio. We've got it on TV. We've got books. We've got it everywhere. And it's kind of like, if you can't believe and take God at his word, why are you going to believe anything else? But I think we have to be careful with it, but understand it's still a gift that the Lord has used. Healing, same thing. The ability to serve as a human instrument whom God cures illnesses and restores health. The possessor of this gift is not the source of the power, but a vessel who can heal only those diseases the Lord chooses to heal. In other words, they can't just walk in hospital and start healing everybody and set them all home. It's not the way that works. The spiritual gift should not be confused with the signs and wonders performed by Jesus and the apostles. It should not be discredited because of the abuses of the grandstanding faith healers. And that kind of goes back with the miracles. I think we just have to be careful of how we will lump things in. You've probably heard stories. I've heard stories of somebody praying for somebody and the Lord heals them. You have to believe in it because we sit here and pray about it, that the Lord will heal somebody. What we have issues with is when somebody goes up and they pray for them. But I don't know that they necessarily, it's like I said, it's not like the apostles where they could just come up and just heal somebody. But if the Lord lays it on somebody's heart and they pray for somebody and they're healed, it's obviously the power of the Lord. It is not the person. But we have to be careful how we still have to discern, I think as we get into some of the other ones, discern what's going on, but we still have to be careful of not discrediting things that is actually the power of God. Helps. The ability to enhance the effectiveness of a ministry or members of the body. This is the only use of this word in the New Testament. It appears to be distinct from the gift of service. Some writers suggest that while the gift of service is more group-oriented, the gift of help is more person-oriented. I've heard these exchanged both ways, but essentially it is helping others, serving others, and some have that ability and they just recognize it. They see those things where the others of us, we walk around and we're just oblivious to what's going on with them. Somebody else, the Lord has gifted them with that, and they notice those things, and they're there to help and to help the body out and individuals. Administration, leadership. This word appears once in the New Testament and is used outside of Scripture for the helmsman who steers a ship toward its destination. This suggests that the spiritual gift of administration is the ability to steer a church or Christian organization toward the fulfillment of its goals by managing its affairs and implementing necessary plans. A person may have the gift of leadership without the gift of administration. Then he kind of separates a little bit of that. The gift of leadership often asks the what question. The gift of administration asks the how. How's this going to happen? How's this going to take place? And you know different ones that we've run into of how the Lord has gifted them in either one of these, administration or leadership. And obviously it's used in the church for the body, for edifying and building the church up. All right, so one of the indicators of your spiritual gift is what comes so naturally and easy for you. There's an illustration that's used, and I won't, since I'm pulling it from memory, I won't hit all of them. But if we're at a table and somebody knocks over a glass of water, the reaction will oftentimes show you what the gift of the person is. Because the one in leadership and administration is going to start telling people, hey, you go get a mop, you get this, and trying to help get the problem, get that cleaned up. The one who is serving automatically is going to go get whatever needs to be done, the paper towels, the towel, mop, whatever is necessary to make sure that gets cleaned up. The one with the encouragement, oh, that's all right. Any of us could have done that, right? They're going to step right in, and that's what you're going to hear. And then maybe like with help, so they're going to be, I'll get you another glass of water or something. So they're the one with mercy, you know, it's no problem. I'll go get you another glass or whatever. So you see those different reactions when something happens of that. I'll see if I can find the full thing because I think it runs through all of the gifts. Oh, yeah, the prophet. I knew that was going to happen. You had your glass too close to the edge of the table, and you were moving your hands a lot when you were talking. So all of those kind of fall into it. And so that's a good one as far as you think of what your reaction would be in that type of a situation. So and again, that's something, that reaction, and it's something that comes natural. It's just, you don't have to think about it. It's just like, boom. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something spiritual where that comes out. It's like, say, with an accident or something else that happens. that's where we step in and do it. And sometimes, if we're here, and say, you're younger, you're a little more introverted or whatever, you might not do what you naturally would, because you might hold back because of other people. But if you're at home and that same thing happened, what's that response? Of course, you always got the mother response, but you got the other responses too. So it kind of helps as you think of that. And we've got, I actually had forgotten about it, but I need to go through it. We had a thing we did, I can't remember if we did it last time with this one with the spiritual gifts or if we did it before. But it's a questionnaire thing, and then you go through and you answer all these questions, and then it kind of gives you an idea of, you know, what your gift is. And, you know, it's like for encouragement, they have all these different things and you're asking, and so if you don't have encouragement, you're like, no, I wouldn't be doing that. You should have known better than that or whatever. So we'll try to get that one too, so that's also helpful to have. All right, so understanding your spiritual gift helps you to see where you fit into the body of Christ. You know, a lot of times, especially first saved, you young ones and y'all are just, well, we're just kind of here, and yeah, we're this and that, but the Lord has a purpose for you. He's gifted you. And he has a plan for you in the body of Christ. So even if you're young, that's still the case. Nothing changed. If you're saved, you have a gift. And the Lord expects you to figure out, understand what that gift is. He didn't make it difficult. We make it difficult. And to exercise it. Knowing and developing your spiritual gift not only gives you clarification and purpose, but helps you to see your value in the kingdom of God. You know, often we think we're just, you know, we come in and you think of those people that's just sucking up the free air conditioning and they're warming up the seat or whatever it is, and then that's it. But we're part of a body. We are to exercise our gift. We're to build up each other up, to edify. And the Lord has given you a purpose. He put you in the body for a purpose. You didn't show up by here by accident, even though you thought you probably did. Some of you may have, I don't know. But anyway, he works out circumstances and things. He has brought you here for a purpose. And this helps you to see that you also have value. He didn't just save you. As we get busy with life and we start thinking about different, you know, what's going on in our life, when we realize that he has given you a purpose, he has given you a gift, he has things for you to do and people to reach, it changes your, should change your perspective, and it gives you value of who you are in Christ and how he is using you. It's easy to get caught up in the different things, but to realize that in the vast world of Christendom, you are very important, and God knows every detail about your life. He knows what He designed you for. He has given you a particular spiritual gift to help you in reaching those people that He brings into your life. So we need to figure out what our gift is. We need to start exercising that. And, you know, it's one of those also, you can ask others. And Kenneth brought this up. He has some homework for you last time. If you go back and listen to that or watch the PowerPoint, he has some homework for you. He'll bring it up next time, I guess. See if you actually did it. But if you ask others, they're more likely to be able to tell you what your gift is, because sometimes we don't necessarily see it. It doesn't take you too long to pick up who is Mr. or Mrs. Encouragement versus somebody else. And if things aren't going right, who are you looking for? You're looking for Mr. or Mrs. Encouragement, because, you know, you're probably not going to come up to the one that does not have that, because they're not going to be very helpful in that area necessarily. So you'll see it in somebody else a lot quicker, and you know what that gift may be. All right, we'll go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for our time this morning. We just thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the work that You have done in our lives, that He would become our substitute, take our place. And as He took upon Himself our sin, He paid that penalty in full. And You in turn gave us His righteousness. You have made us Your children. You have gifted each one of us as believers with a spiritual gift or gifts that we are to exercise for You. We just thank You for that. And just help us to understand what Your purpose and plan for our lives is, and to encourage and build each other up. In Jesus' name, amen.